4 o'clock, so I will go ahead and get started. You guys can going whatever you need to. I have Michelle on the line too. Marie is not able to make it today, and she is not able to call in either. But we have a quorum, so we're good to go. As we start, we'll talk about the agenda. So does anyone have anything that they want to add or take away from the agenda? I think I had.
And the packets that were mailed, that was this was the updated one,
yeah.
Correct? Yeah, thanks.
I don't think there was anything. I don't think we need to go into executive for session for personnel. That's medical director discussion. So that's something we can talk about. So we could add, it's technically probably old business since we kind of talked about it. We have to rescind a motion and we talked about it. So if we could add medical director for Buffalo EMS to number 6. And I think I have everything else that I had on my list. Does anyone else have any?
Just a clarification, so
yes.
You're going to scratch the executive
yes.
session?
Yes. Okay. And then I do want to add work sessions on here into the new business, because as we move forward, I think that to make our meetings effective and to be able to just maybe focus on one thing at a time as we move forward, so we can give our best to things like the budget. I would like to see us for the next at least couple months, I know it's kind of crazy, but a work session prior to our meeting, so we can just have a dedicated time that we can meet and just kind of talk about one thing, because especially since there's 3 new board members, I feel like a work session is a good way for us to collaborate and then just a good way for us to learn. And so I would like to add work session to the new number 3 for new business. That way we can kind of just get an idea, because then we can let the media know when these work sessions are going to be, because obviously they're open to the public and allow everyone to attend. Does anyone have any cons against a work session? Okay. I think we can make, that way these work sessions can make the meetings run efficiently and we're not hashing out budget in a meeting when we can do it together at a work session. So that's all the extra that I had.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda with the additions.
I'll second that.
Perfect. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Perfect. Okay. Vouchers. There was Michelle.
Yes.
Okay. I just had one question for you on the voucher when it comes to, because we're starting to sign those now. Let me pull up the list. I saw where... for the KC voucher, there was a charge for nitrous oxide. And I talked to Crosby in January, and he did not want to move forward with the nitrous oxide.
He did not have a charge for
KC.
Nitrous. Or should not have had.
Okay, sorry, I swore it said Casey. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's where I was confused. Okay, ignore me.
Okay, and while we're on budget, I also have another question for us on capital outlay. What went under that line item? I guess that would be for Teresa on just our budget stuff.
Your uniforms were in that because there's not a line item for uniform expense.
Okay.
I'd have to look back and let you know what else would be in that, under that category. I don't have a breakdown specifically with me for the year. But I do know that we put the uniform expense in that.
Yeah. Got trouble for that.
Okay, it should probably, Teresa, we should probably create a line item for uniforms, even though we don't have a budget, just so that it goes to the correct line item, because technically that they aren't a capital outlay item.
Okay. That can be done.
Okay. And we used to have a uniform line item. I'm not sure where it went.
They did away with it at one point, but it could be added into next year.
I saw my error. It's right above it. It said KC Medical Supplies. So that's what I just had in my head, that it was KC Nitrous Oxide.
Go ahead and do checks here. Do you guys want to both stick with the same two signatures on checks? Or
I don't think it really matters.
She just initial? Okay.
Yeah.
Was that bill from American Welding and Gas?
Not yet.
Oh, so that was for the unit, not the actual
gas.
Yeah, that's the one I emailed to you. Mm-hmm.
And I looked through all the vouchers to her, and I didn't, nothing besides just that question I had about the nitrous oxide, nothing else was an immediate question.
Oh, and Dr. Schuler. It just came to me that Pivotal Solution is under the Rural Health Care Board expense with $1,170.
Oh,
that was for the firewall.
Okay. Yeah, Melanie? I can run that car if I need. Oh, there we go. I got it going. Yeah, I might.
Yes, because if it means we have to not sign the check, please. Because I don't think I've gotten to that check yet. Marilyn, if you wait on the nitrous oxide. One, if you've already done it.
Oh, for Casey?
No, for Buffalo. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I had a visit with proposed new director, and he's not sure that he's in favor of the nitrous oxide. So, until we get that solidified,
okay.
We should, that way it'd be easier for us to, we're not unpackaging the machine.
Yeah.
And we need to send it back.
Yeah.
It would be better if we didn't pay him before then.
Okay.
Has there been anything done to the ambulance to support that system yet?
We'll have to ask Dave.
Has there been anything done to on the ambulance to install that yet?
No. No.
Here it is, and I signed it. Perfect.
Okay.
Good job, Adam. Teresa, here is the nitrous. So we're going to hold off, even though I'm already.
Yep.
Teresa, across the open stop, this guy comes through here in the morning. So he said just to leave it here with me and that stop.
Okay. I'll make sure you get it off with me.
Okay. I thought I'd better tell you that before.
Oh, Michelle, I did have a question for you.
Yes.
When I met with Crosby, he wasn't totally sure at the time. Are you and Crosby getting paid separately for call?
I turned that in this month the first time.
Okay.
So that we are. We had a large amount of calls, and we had 18 of them.
And then I saw that new, I saw that as a new thing, and so that's what I kind of figured it was, but I just wanted to double check with you to see
that.
Okay.
So perfect. I did turn that in this month for us, above and beyond, So
okay.
We'll kind of see how that goes. We still try to have one of us at least here for, so we do run ALS.
Sure. Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, the CARE EMS Solutions for Michelle, $8,250. Can you, is that the new, can you explain that for me?
Yes, that is for the 11 people that we have enrolled in the EMT class.
Okay.
There's an invoice behind that check. It was for training.
There's one for training.
Yeah, what's the history on that? Has that been? I just don't know.
Marilyn, what's the history on the train?
The history on this one that's in the vouchers tonight?
Or just more in general on past trainings and stuff? Has that been something that the board has funded?
Well, no.
Okay.
They haven't. We didn't pay for Crosby or Michelle. We did pay, I believe we paid for Heidi. What's her last name?
Greet.
Greet. EMS training. But we typically haven't.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I think.
Did you hold that? Where was that one at?
So should that not be paid?
So maybe we should hold on
this one.
I think as long as they talk to the chairman, it should be fine.
It's not the chairman, it's the board. So we need to make sure that it's a board decision, not the chairman decision. And so I think.
Well, I guess what I meant is, was the chairman aware of it?
Yes. Well, Crosby had let me know that he had 8 EMTs. And at that time, I thought maybe he said 8. That were taking the course, and I simply said that that was wonderful that he had that many. I wasn't aware that we paid for that.
We haven't yet, but it looks like it.
Well, we have the check here, so we can talk about that. And Michelle, when does this training start?
March 1st.
And is it basic? Sorry, you cut out.
It's for basic,
okay.
Yes, EMT basics.
Okay.
carries.
Thank you.
You think you'd need to write anymore?
What's that? Gosh. That was brand new. But I went by with that one.
Oh, we good, Teresa, on the vouchers.
Yeah, we'll need the voucher list initialized from last meeting. So I don't know, does that go after you? 15 minutes, I can't remember. And then the minutes are...
So this, you know, is a, we can bring this up now as this thing. Michelle, I think this is something that we need to vote on for paying for this. Can you explain a little bit about this? Like, you know, you mentioned 11 there. Are they all from KC? What's kind of the intent behind them? Are they wanting to start right away working for KC EMS?
So yes, that was kind of the requirement, of pre-screening, of signing them up for class. Again, we haven't had a class in KC since 2014. At that point in time when we had that class, the board did pay for, like, the state helped us, because we're, again, we're a volunteer service and stuff. They helped us, like, by doing the books and things like that for it, but we've always had an education budget. We didn't know that this class was going to be offered through CARES. They cut us a huge deal at $750 a person, and that includes books and their online training, and then we'll have to do work something out with these guys at the end to help pay for, like, probably National Registry or something like that to take their final class. These people are all from KC, live in KC, and under the understanding that if we help pay for their class, for them to do it, then they have to give back so many hours a month in training and being on call. And unfortunately, in KC, it takes a lot longer to get somebody up and going to where they are sustainable, I guess, on their own.
Sure.
Of not having to have, like, an FTO person with them on every call.
Okay.
So whenever you bring somebody on new in KC, they're technically really not on their own. You're probably looking at a year, even 2 years, depending on how many calls and how much training they do, or if they try to pick up shifts in a bigger service,
mm-hmm.
to get them up and going to where they are okay to be on their own, feel comfortable being on their own and actually taking a patient by themselves, because we have such a long transport to...
Yes.
Okay.
Is there any experience with this organization in the past?
Yes. So these guys, we did, there were six of us that went through the AEMT class with these guys and all graduated. That one was 4 years ago.
So it's hybrid. So do you have to go somewhere to, or are they going to come to KC?
So our requirements are, is Crosby or I will be at the ambulance barn. Everybody needs to show up to be in class or be online present with us and have talked to us. Like, if they're not going to be able to come in and be in class in KC, then they need to have prior arrangements with us. And then we will also be doing Sunday, like, extra classes with them for anybody that needs help, probably 8 hours on either a Saturday or Sunday, and anybody who needs extra help, one of us will be available as well to meet with them, do one-on-one stuff with them, anybody that, I don't know how familiar everybody is, there's a ton of testing, a ton of training. So it's a lot of time and a lot of work.
Sure.
So do you have room for 11 more EMTs in KC? How does that fit into the schedule?
I don't know if all 11 of them will pass. I'm hoping that they will. I hope that we get them there. Right now, we only have 3 of us that I think are taking the brunt of all the calls, sometimes 4 of us. In a month that we don't have a lot of calls isn't a lot, but when we have a lot of calls, it adds up to just people being available 24/7. And being around, we need to add to our resources.
I have a proposal, possibly, just because it concerns me a little bit that when you said you're not sure that the 11 will pass or continue, what if we did it to where they paid their own course fee and then we talked about reimbursement upon successful completion of the course? Because then we're not out, because it would be a little disheartening to pay for 5, say only 3 of the 8 went through, and we just paid 750 times 5. I'm not a math person. And then they move, or they don't do anything, or they don't pass. Because I'm assuming, like, once we pay for them to start the course, if in a month they say, I'm done, I'm out of here, we're out the $750. I'm assuming Care EMS does not reimburse you if someone leaves the course.
Yeah, and that was my thoughts and concerns too. And I would even kind of expand that to maybe say, we'll reimburse half if they graduate and they, or, you know, or if they work for 6 months. But that was going to be my question. If we did pay for it, is there going to be a contract? I mean, was there intent to have some sort of contract in place with them to make sure, you know, they were working that commitment off, like you mentioned, Michelle? Or what was that looking like?
That's what we would love to do. Unfortunately, you can't hold somebody who is not an employee.
Right.
To those standards. We would like to.
Well, they technically would be an employee of the Rural Health Care Board.
Not throughout the class, though.
To a certain extent.
But I mean, like, so if we, say we reimburse them half once they successfully graduated, and then if they successfully stayed on as a KC EMS EMT for whatever amount of time is desired, then we, if they sign a contract that says, and then we reimburse them the rest of the money after that time period, because then they would technically be an employee of the Rural Health Care District.
I think she was saying just if there was a contract for them when they start the course.
Oh, sure. I see. Yes. Employees. I see. Yeah.
So, Michelle,
we're trying to do a contract with them when they start the course, that they are giving you so much time. Again, they get paid on a volunteer basis of kind of what they sign up for. It's a tricky thing because they're not like full-time employees. Like, we don't have a set schedule for them. That's not like their first job.
Yeah, I totally get that.
It's really hard. It's really hard to try to get people to sign up. I want you to give me 72 hours of your life for $3 an hour.
Well, I think it's valuable to have local people interested, and I think we want to fund education, but I don't think we want it to be a blank check where 11 people get paid or get free education, because I think that's getting a little free with public money. I can see where we might say five or six we can fund, and then that money can be divided up among those who are successful. But if there's no skin in the game, anybody can sign up and decide whether or not to finish or not, and then we're on the hook for the balance. But I'm grateful that there's that much interest. I just think it's a little bit expensive from a rural health board standpoint at the moment.
And I understand that. We Crosby and I have talked about this and gone round and round and round with it. It'll deplete probably down to maybe where we have four people maybe sign up for it, because they just simply can't afford the class.
But even with, if we did a if we did a reimbursement after successful completion?
Yeah, because successful completion is, like, the class has to be paid for this month for them, and then successful completion would be at the end of May into June. So you're looking at 4 or 5 months that these people have put out this money. And that's fine. If the board doesn't want to fund it, I mean, that's completely up to the board.
I guess, yeah, my concern, yeah, would be someone, you know, realizes, oh, gosh, that's a lot of work, and, you know, other things are, you know, got family and stuff, and a week later, they just quit. And like you said, you know, if only half are maybe going to complete the course anyways, then we're down to the four or five that would maybe do it and pay for it on their own, sadly. But.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I was just curious if these people have all officially signed up.
They have all officially signed up. We had long talks with them about how intense the course is, what you have to give to the course, how many hours and hours of free time every single week they have to put into getting through this class.
Did they sign up with the idea that they were going to have their tuition paid?
That I don't know. Half of them were willing to pay for tuition if they needed to do so, and the other half I didn't talk to personally. We kind of split the conversations, I guess, with that many people on what the expectations were and how many hours. And $750 per person isn't a whole lot when they are giving probably 12 to 20 hours back into learning this material, showing up for class, doing their didactic learning hands-on.
Can I ask one more? Mm-hmm. Does anybody know, do you know, if they go through, like, the Casper College or the, I don't know if Sheridan College is offering that anymore or not, what the cost of a basic EMT class is through the college?
So the college EMT class is $1,400, because it's one semester. It's $1,400 for tuition, plus books, plus anything else extra that they needed. Whenever we put Heidi through that, it cost almost $2,700. When it was all said and done with everything that they added on, because you had to sign up for their charting system to be able to get through that, which we're using Waters for this class. They had to pay for their book that was outside of what their tuition cost. So going to the college, getting college credit is, of course, just double what any of these other is, why these services put on these classes.
Do you think it would be acceptable if the students enrolled were asked to pay half, and if they finished and worked for KC Ambulance, they got it back?
We can put it out there.
I would, and I'm leaning towards more even. I mean, then we're paying for half, and I guess it's maybe that's the gamble. Still half don't complete. We're still out, you know, $2,000 on that. I'd be interested to see how many would still do the class if they pay full, and then we say, well, if at graduation you get half back, and if you work for 6 months for a KC, you get the other half, and we'd end up, if they graduate and stick around and work for 6 months, where we would pay for it, pay for all of it. And again, if that's 11 people, great. I doubt that it would be that many. But what the check here is for, what, 8,200 bucks.
I see both sides, Michelle. I think it's just kind of tough to say, you know, here's one person, here's $750, and then they don't continue on after they, you know, they say they have the time, and then they get into it and realize it's more time, and then it's, we're out $750. Because sometimes I think that when you're working with somebody else's money, it's easier to not be as committed.
Skin in the game.
Versus when you have more skin in the game and you say, oh, I had to work 2 extra shifts to pay for this. I'm finishing. I'm going to do this and finish.
Right.
When did you say that the sign-ups and everything have to be in, Michelle?
She said March 1st.
Yeah. So this is, I believe, I'm pretty sure that what Teresa had there with the check or whatever that was presented was, like, the class roster.
Oh, I don't know. I just have an invoice that says thank you.
Is it printed on the back? Oh.
Say that again, please.
Yeah. It just says 11 students. It doesn't say anything else.
Okay.
Ideas on a motion for this? Do we want to? I can give.
The other thing I would put out there also is that we have the money in our budget out of, I mean, it would come out a different line item, but I mean, our total budget, we're not asking for like extra money to put out funding to educate and get some more people on board for the ambulance service. We had one employee that still, I mean, worked full time, but went down to part time pay so that we could try to get a bigger pool from here. Because literally, him and I cannot be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Brittany, I got another comment. I don't think, you can't, we got into this before. If they're going to take money out of the budget, it has to come out of the education line. The education line or payroll line has to go into the correct line, even if it shows a deficit. Okay, so
right.
So you knew that, Michelle.
I knew that it'll come out of for our overall budget total dollars. We have the money. We won't go over like a full budget if there needs to be something like turned in to move like money from health insurance, which isn't coming out anymore, over to now we have that money in education. Or
okay, so the way I understand that, if we're going to move any money from lines, one line to another line, that has to be advertised so that the public knows that's what we're doing. I was trying to look here and see what you had still in your education line.
24.
So there's what, 2,400 in there, basically. So that would come off the 8,000, whatever it was, and then the payroll difference. I don't know what that would be, and I don't know if you consider these kind of classes coming up. You'd have to transfer money from the payroll line to the education line. was the way if that was going to happen.
Are there any motions on the that anyone wants to have about this? Because I'm assuming we need to decide. Or it could be something to where we don't decide today. We talk more with Crosby. We talk more with the people who are lining the class. And then, so you're saying you have some who are, like, if we're not paying. So obviously, though, they were told at some point that we would be paying for their course because you said that some can't afford it. And they
some absolutely cannot afford it. No, we just had the conversation with them that we could approach it is to see what we could do for funding. Back to education, like we're putting a one of our AEMTs right now through an IEMT class. We applied for a grant from the state. The state doesn't have any more funding for grants or anything. So because we were volunteer service, we qualified for that $1,750 from the state to pay for IEMT class that we're putting him through.
Okay.
I would think we'd have to have something in writing written for them to sign to agree that.
Or they reimburse us if
so long, and if they didn't, and if they didn't complete the class, they'd have to reimburse the rural healthcare.
And from a need basis, I mean, I think that's something to consider too, if you know, more of a scholarship type deal. But I think if we're helping from that end of things, I think the same thing. If they don't complete it, are we able to say, hey, if you don't, we'll help you out, but if you bail, you owe us $750.
Yeah.
You know,
where is this $8,200 coming from now, according to our current budget?
The way it looks to me, Dr. Schuler, is that they would have to take it out of their education line, and that would be the $2,400, and then they would have to transfer the money that the district's saving by not paying a full-time position from those lines to the education line.
So that's
or the $15,000 that's left in health insurance because we're not paying health insurance anymore.
Right. So it might have to come from both those health insurance payroll lines and transferred into the education line. That's the only place I can see how it could work.
So we're really talking about two motions. One is how to fund this, and the other is what kind of obligation for students enrolling.
Right.
And so there is money, but there's then the fiscal responsibility of how, what are the terms for covering tuition?
I am 100% pro these guys doing this. I think it's wonderful. I think it's amazing that you have 11 in Casey alone that are wanting to do this. That's huge. And I want to support them as much as I can, as we can, but still being fiscally responsible. So I still would like to see us be able to fund all of the $750, and this is just me throwing this out there because I think it's really important, but only if, you know, I'd like to, here's an idea that I would like is that the contract says upon successful completion of the course, we will reimburse you half of that. And then upon 6 months of successfully of dedicating you and taking call for KCEMS, we will reimburse you the other half. And I know 6 months doesn't sound like a lot of the time, but sometimes I feel like if we get them for 6 months, that's a great stepping stone too, you know.
Yeah. And that they pay the $750 up front.
Pay the $750, and then knowing that they're going to get reimbursed, or But then it gets really sticky because this happened with the last board I was on. It gets kind of sticky when it comes to if we pay it and then they may sign a contract that says they'll reimburse us if they don't successfully complete. And then we're having to go through the lawyer and having to garnish wages and things. It gets to be kind of a sticky mess. And so I would like to us not have to go down that hole versus just $350 or $370, whatever half of $750 is.
$325.
then we can, that's my thought. It dedicates them, it gives them motivation to complete the course, and it gives them a motivation to return their services back to the KC community. But
I'm in favor of that. Michelle, do you think, of the people that might not be able to pay, I don't want to lose, maybe if that's, a couple of our best candidates. I don't know if you can handle those on a case-to-case or not, or I guess back to Dr. Schuler.
We can just have a conversation with them all and see where they're at.
So March 1st is not flexible. The course will happen, and it needs to be, we need to be finalized so that that can happen. I'm assuming it's not a start when you're ready. It's got to be that day.
No, that's when class starts.
Yeah. Well, even if people just have half of the tuition cost that they're committed to, that's an incentive. And that means we're covering half of this tuition expense, and half of that's already available through the education funding. So I don't think that's an unreasonable amount of expense. And then those people have an incentive, but I think some people might be able to find $325 if they really are interested in participating.
Yeah.
Is that what you're in favor of then? Is us maybe paying half up front, making them pay the other half?
And they get it back if they start working.
Okay.
Half up front or half?
Half up front.
Oh, okay.
And then you're not collecting, but yet it's still a fairly reachable sum for people who have a limited resource.
And then say the other half, they get paid the other half as a bonus or get that other half back after 6 months. If they stay, if not just graduation, maybe that they graduate and work some. And then if they graduate and say, I'm going
to
go work in Casper.
Here's just the caveat to that is when... So we're not a paid service. People don't get paid a huge hourly rate to be here or anything else. So we're asking people to pay money. We want you to pay $750 to take a class, to volunteer and work for pretty much free, and continue all this education to get back to your community. I mean, we'll approach it. We'll go that route with these people, but that's where you in lie with a volunteer service versus a paid service on go get your education, and then you get to jump in there and you're going to make it a job. We're giving you a full-time job now because you went and got educated. For us, we're giving you an education that most will use to give back to their community on a volunteer basis. And yes, they get paid a very small amount per call. It ends up being, because most of our calls, by the time you come back, clean up everything, do everything, they literally make maybe $7.50 an hour. I don't even know if that pays for their gas to get into the ambulance barn to answer that call anymore. So therein lies the problem of trying to get people to pay for a class that we're trying to put on to have more volunteers. That's where we're coming from, and trying to get people involved and even doing a class and making it worth our time. which is why we, like, put Heidi through the college, because it was just, it was time-wise that you put into putting on one of these classes and educating all these people is huge, huge.
And well, when you say we, who do you mean we?
I will be giving in extra time to put on this class here, as will Crosby, because we're a host site. To do all these, that's a ton of our own extra time. So that's what I mean by we. I've got our other couple of people that are really involved, Seth and Mary. They have said that they're willing to come in and help teach and do that. That's all extra time that they're going to be giving as well, so that we have some extra help possibly out of this class.
And Michelle, I'm very sensitive to that and understanding of that. I think we're not against that. I mean, we completely understand that. I think the biggest part is it's just a huge amount of budget taken away if someone, like I said, in 2 weeks decides not to pay that. And so I think we're still willing to pay the $750. It's just how we approach how it's paid is different than just immediately giving them, you know, that $750 will still be covered. It's just going to be not right away up front. Like, only half of it, if this is the motion that we choose to move forward with, only half is going to be paid up front, and then the other half at the end.
If we pay it all and five don't make it, I mean, there goes $4,000.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
And that $4,000, here's my other concern with that, is five don't make it or five don't do it, there's $4,000 that could be used to put someone else towards something. Someone else wants to go to an intermediate school, or it could be used to reevaluate at budget time to increase pay for those that we have. And so I just think we have to be fiscally sound in this regarding that, because it would be a huge issue if $4,000 is gone and then we now look at the rest of the EMTs and say, well, we think you deserve more money, but we can't pay more money because we just had five people quit a class in 2 weeks.
Right. No, I understand completely. I guess these are all the barriers that we're going to approach. And, I mean, we'll throw it out there to them that they have to put up front, you know, half of it. Or I know absolutely none of them have the $750. There's a couple of them that would probably try to figure out how to do the $750, but...
I'll make a motion, but I guess I wanted just to see everyone's thoughts on, you know, I'd be in favor of doing the half up front, you guys mentioned, but where are we at? Is it, do we think if you graduate, we look at the other half, or do we want to see a little, you know, six months, that you, even if they take one or two calls, what do you guys think there? And I'm good either, right? But I'm leaning more towards just half up front.
I think, Brittany, I think that they need to do some work for the ambulance before they get the other.
So there's 300, and so it would be 375 because it's 750, right? 375
right.
Is half 750, yeah. And then 375 initial. And then the other 375 upon 6 month
completion
or 6 month call, whether that's you're with somebody, whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you know, that's up to Michelle and Crosby. I think that's you guys to determine their skill level and everything based on that. So,
right.
So the motion, you know, we can talk about 375 initial and then 375. After 6 months of
upon
their time.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay, so the motion on the table is 375 initial pay, 375 after 6 months dedication to KC EMS. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. Michelle?
Yes.
So
I'm just taking notes here so that I know how to explain to Crosby and all this stuff what we have to explain. So we're going, as I understood that, is you guys are agreeing to pay half of the tuition up front, and then we need to do some kind of contract or something with them, and they need to do 6 months of continuing education, giving time.
Not continuing education. No, not continuing education. Just they are working for KC EMS for those 6 months, whatever it looks like.
Okay. We will we'll make them do continuing education every month, that kind of stuff. But, okay, so working 6 months. Then look at the other half being reimbursed, correct?
At the 6 months, yep, the other $375 will be reimbursed. Okay. And so she said we will just have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have to cut another check for just half that amount before March 1st.
Yes. Okay. So I'll just
have
sign.
To get with you and another person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That might change our numbers too after they visit with them, maybe a couple.
Yeah.
Say, you know,
and it very well, very well may. So.
And.
We'll have to know before we pay for it.
Yes.
Yeah. We just let us let us know that number.
Okay.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yep, you're welcome.
Oh.
We'll try to let you guys know by the end of this week. We should be able to contact everybody, get a hold of them, and see where they're at on that. And then if you guys approve, like here, that whatever we have Teresa cut the check for, that it's okay to sign it without waiting until the middle of March.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Beth.
All right. A workforce development grant. If you're doing out-of-house training, that's $200,000. All they would have to do is apply for that grant.
Or it's $5,000 per employee.
$5,000 per employee.
Per year.
So if they have them people on their roster, all they have to do is submit the information to the Division of Workforce Services. It took me a week for us to get approved for the grant.
But they'd have to postpone their class.
They'd have to postpone. It's
30 days.
So you get your grant, you get approved for the grant. You have to submit the class 30. You have to submit the request 30 days before the class starts.
But these people are not on the payroll.
Not employees.
Yeah, they're not employees. They're hopefully,
all they have to do is I mean, the intern, even the internship one. Then, I mean, there's lots of workforce development grants. All they go to the
Michelle, have you looked into those, the workforce development grants?
I didn't look into any of the workforce grants. I just knew the ones like through the whole healthcare coalition and then talking to Scott at the Department of EMS, whatever they had available.
Okay. Let's talk about,
okay.
I'll talk with you about this. I want to continue on with the meeting. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll talk with you about some of this, okay? And I'll help you.
Okay.
And we'll look and see what we can
do,
okay? Okay. Next item on the agenda is approving the minutes. And I just want to tell Teresa that you are a rock star because I was like expecting like Carla Bishop came and talked about the mill levy. And you, I was like, oh, this helps so much.
Well,
so
thanks to the recording.
Good. So... Thank you. Oh, I was like, wow, she really paid attention and listened well. So thank you very much for that. That is a big help for me, and so I appreciate that. I went through all of this, and I didn't see anything that needed to be added to or corrected.
I'm going to make a motion that we approve the minutes as written.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
What I'd
also like to make a motion that we approve the December minutes.
That's fine. Okay, so all in favor of approving, or is there a second to approve the December minutes?
I will. Were those not approved?
They were approved as stood, which is
okay.
Fine, but if we want to continue this.
That's fine. I'll second.
Okay. Yep. All in favor say aye, approving
aye.
The December
aye.
Minutes.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, treasurer's report.
We received from county tax revenue for January $61,768. On our budget sheet, this the total is $211,000, and that's the January payment. So
not to interrupt you, Dr. Schuller, but can you say where you're seeing that at?
Okay.
Just so we
yeah,
follow well, along. Or are you just...
I had to get help.
Okay.
So on our packet budget sheet, you see taxes of $211,686.
Okay, yes.
That was from December.
That we received
December's check.
In January, and it was from December.
Correct.
So the last treasurer's report, the last county treasurer's payment invoice for the January tax revenue that we just received is $61,768. It fluctuates a great deal, so it's more useful to look at what we've received to date, which is $699,806, and that's roughly half of what we anticipate we'll receive. Ambulance revenue for the month was $19,659, which was below average for an annual receipt of $400,000. That's about $30,000 a month, so it was a little slower month revenue wise. And motor vehicle fees, $7,633. There are no surprises in the current revenue. And in terms of expenses for the month, there were no receipts for out-of-county transfers or expenditures. Our insurance payment was almost the entire amount for the year, and that came out of the current month. Board expenses of $1,580 cover, I guess you could say, some unexpected items such as the firewall system that had to be upgraded and some ambulance repair expenses. So that's needed a little clarification for that. In terms of cash on hand, there's $1,364,343 in checking and savings at Bank of Buffalo, and three CDs totaling $500,637 at First Northern Bank. So overall, our revenues and our expenses are roughly on budget, and cash holdings of about $1.8 million on hand. Nothing further to report.
I did have one question on the revenue. On the out-of-county transfers, it's blank, and there were three that were noted for January. So how does that work?
So we have
it takes a long while for that.
That's right. Okay. So there's something there. It's just we're not getting reimbursed yet for that.
It's been billed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Brittany?
Yes.
I have a question for Dr. Schiller.
You can go ahead and just ask him.
The Bank of Buffalo is going to have to issue a new pledge letter because they can only pledge up to 1.4. So my question is, has that pledge letter been received? Does anybody know?
It has not been received to the post office box yet.
So that might be something you need to check on, because we're at 1.36 now, and they cannot pledge any higher. That's as high as they can go.
Was it
1.4?
Was it 1.4? For some reason, I had in my head 1.
Well, I remember the email, and that was 1.4,
okay.
And I haven't received anything.
Okay, that might be something to check on.
So deposits, as far as ambulance revenues and tax revenues, are going into checking at Bank of Buffalo currently?
So most of it goes into the money market account.
Okay, which is also at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
it's all at Bank of Buffalo. Mm-hmm.
That's now in an amount of $1.293 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it will continue to grow until we mm-hmm. redirect.
I just recently put the $61,000 that you were saying for the county taxes that came for January. I just deposited that into the checking account to have enough money to cover the expenses for this.
And is this total reflecting that deposit of $61,000?
This total is not, because that will be in February.
Okay.
It just happened last week.
So then the question would be transferring. I'm assuming if we buy a CD at Bank of Buffalo, that's still in that institution, and it's still under the same limited pledge amount. So perhaps the other option is to transfer some funding to another institution in a CD so that we've got a little more room for checking or money market.
And the three CDs now are at First Northern, correct, already?
Mm-hmm.
So we could always just do another CD there.
And you did just receive a letter in the mail yesterday from First Interstate regarding an application for deposit of public funds accounts. So they're asking for you to possibly consider them as an investment.
You said First Northern.
First Interstate.
First Interstate.
Which is where we just closed the checking account, but if you were to do a CD, there's information
okay.
on that just came. I'm not sure it shows rates, but it is a letter regarding that.
So they will insure a balance of $250,000.
Yeah, they insure a lot less than
yeah.
Buffalo.
And I don't know what First Northern Bank will cover. It's already at $500,637.
Yeah. There's probably a current pledge in the in back records that I could go and take a look at. We haven't received an updated pledge from First Northern.
Another real quick question. Under expense, district-wide expense, what would be an out-of-county transfer expense?
That is the 15% agreement that is paid to Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
For the, well, they get 15%
that's considered
the
our expense.
Amount of the
out-of-county
okay. transfer income.
Perfect. Thank you. I have no other questions regarding the
Treasurer.
What about
KC? Oh, No, not under budget, not under treasurer's report.
Okay. So I'll make a motion we approve the treasurer's report.
I'll second.
All in favor to approve the treasurer's report, please say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. Director's report for Buffalo EMS.
Okay, well, we had 55 calls in January, and 9 of them were transfers. 3 went to Billings, 4 to Casper, 1 to Sheridan, 1 to the airport. We had 1 nurse transfer. Out of county, we had 3. Billings, 1 to Casper, and 1 to other, which is, I think we went and got someone and brought them back here. In town, we had 40, out of town, 15, 50 residents, 5 non-residents, 4 canceled calls, 9 patient refusals, and 1 trauma team activation. We had 28 Medicare pays, 2 Medicaid, 5 paid by insurance, 4 were self-pay, 2 were the VA. So it's winter times, slow, population down, but this is pretty average for January. February might even be a little less than this.
Thank you. Michelle?
So Casey had 18 total calls. We ended up with 18 patients. We had 7 refusals, 7 were trauma, 11 were dispatches medical. 2 were canceled, and then I think everybody kind of has a report. We kind of try to give you guys a detail of kind of what the calls consisted of. And then do you want the report on updates on ambulances here as well right now?
Sure.
Okay. So 192, the turbo has been replaced and it is back up and running. I do believe that we finally got some estimates for 264, and
yes,
Crosby is working on getting that scheduled in to get the repairs. Dr. Goddard was here, did case reviews on our charts for the last couple of months, no issues there. And then he did a in-service training on environmental emergencies and hypothermia to the season. For all those things, and I already touched base, like on Seth, we have an IEMT class, so by the end of May, we'll have 3 ALS providers here in KC.
Wonderful. And the preliminary estimate, hopefully it doesn't sway too far from that, is $2,717 for that.
Thunder.
The one he was talking about, yeah, the how the whole front end blew out. So
on 264.
Yes, 2,717.
So, Michelle, so you said you'll have 3 people that can do ALS 1 services. So does that mean then that KC will be able to charge more for that call?
In most cases, yes, we will be able to, which we do now with Crosby and I as providers, we are able to charge at an ALS 1 level. And Teresa, I would ask that if you would just double check to make sure that our billing company, which I believe that they are and the ones that I've seen, that we're getting that extra.
Okay.
It's a pretty significant jump. On what we can be reimbursed.
Okay, I'll take a look at that.
Is that only when those services are rendered?
Yep, that is any ALS provider that provides one or more drugs for treatment of care.
Perfect, thanks.
And if we get into 3 or more drugs for treatment, it goes into a whole other level.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yep, you're welcome.
Was that the turbo, you said it was fixed, and in our notes here it just had kind of an estimate of what that would cost. Was it close to the $3,000?
I just got the bill in the mail today, and I emailed it to Teresa. It was probably too late for this meeting whenever I got the mail. The total on that was $3,084.97. So the parts alone were $2,384, and the number was $700.
Perfect. Thank you.
Michelle, this is Mark Schuler, and I was wanting to ask about the minutes from November when Crosby requested to reduce his salary. And according to the minutes, Marie Miller asked for a more definitive description of his job, and it states that Crosby will clarify the job duties at the next meeting. I did not see anything mentioning that in the December minutes, and he was not able to participate in the January meeting. So we don't have anything that is an update of his job description. And so can you ask him to bring that to the March meeting?
I'll call Crosby.
Okay.
And I can do that and talk to him about that. Okay. Anything else for Michelle? Okay. So old business, Buffalo EMS contract. This is just kind of the, according to the budget timeline, where we say yay, we're going to, it's not anything as to what the contract looks like. It's just simply, yes, we want to continue on with Buffalo EMS, or no, we do not want to continue on with Buffalo EMS. So I think we can simply move forward by someone making a motion as to either way, and then we vote.
And we don't need a timeline or any details.
Not for this. We just tell them yay or nay, and then we move forward with the other budget timeline as we start working more.
I'll make a motion to continue a contract with Buffalo EMS.
I'll second that.
All in favor of continuing with Buffalo EMS, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm opposed because, okay. And the reason why is because I'm a little confused on of how you're presenting that, because at the last meeting I suggested that we, as far as the contract goes, when it's time to do that we offer Buffalo EMS the additional 1 year that's in the contract already. By us voting to say, yes, we're going to offer Buffalo EMS a contract, do we need to really do that? Because we do have to write a letter saying this is what we think we can offer. Dave usually writes a letter and says this is what he feels like he needs. And then,
but according to the contract that we currently have with Buffalo EMS within it,
I know what that says, but my question is, if we're going to vote on this now, do we need to have all the specifics in the contract?
That comes later. This is just simply, according to this, we had to let them know 120 days before the expiration of the current term. And it's just saying, are we going to renew? Are we going to move forward with them? And then how the contract looks or the terms of the contract will be decided later. So they just essentially need to know, like, are we moving forward with Buffalo EMS? Yes, then we start working on contract.
Whether it's the 1 year or
a new contract, because
is the next step.
Yes, because as I recall, there would not be any point in them coming to us with any kind of anything if we say we don't want Buffalo EMS anymore. Then there would be no point of all the groundwork in terms of deciding a contract or anything else. Correct, Carrie.
Well, yes, I just want to confirm, when you say extend the contract, is that for 1 year, 3 years?
What are you talking about?
According to our old contract, you could extend it for 1 year, but if you so choose, you can extend it for 3 or 4 years. And so I think that time needs to be added to the motion.
Okay.
But it is a different it's a different agreement from whether or not we accept what you will fund us with.
Yeah. So we could say a timeline, but what the contract looks like doesn't mean this is what this contract's going to look like. So Marie and I, as part of the subcommittee, met with Buffalo EMS, and we had some good discussions. And I at first sort of felt like I liked the one-year idea, but then the more I thought about it, the more I didn't like the one-year idea. Though I like the one-year idea for me to get my feet wet, but I don't like the one-year idea any longer. And the reason why is I don't believe that gives us any rapport with Buffalo EMS, and it doesn't give their EMTs any support for the future. I think if we're willing to put the legwork in and do the budget and work through these contract, whatever, if there's any new negotiations that need to be done, I think we need to do that and put the time in, because we owe it to the EMTs to know that they have stability for the next however long. For the year, then it's like, here we are again, hanging by a thread. What's going to happen in a year? There's no rapport or collaboration built, and I think we owe it to each side. I propose a 3-year contract. And the reason I propose a 3-year contract is that's typically kind of what your unions and stuff do for contracts, is 3 years. And I think 3 years covers us both ways. I think 3 years gives Buffalo EMS the support they need to say we're going to continue to support you in your service. And I think it also gives us the ability to be fiscally responsible, because we don't know what 3 years, no one predicted COVID was going to happen, and the financial things that came with that. And so I think in order to be fiscally responsible as a board member and for the Johnson County residents, I believe that a 3-year contract is what I am comfortable with, and I believe that it satisfies both parties.
I am not prepared to vote on that tonight.
Okay.
Personally.
Okay. So we have to, because essentially we have to give them, if you're saying you believe a timeline needs to be in place, we have to fulfill our terms of the contract of the 120 days of letting them know.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I don't mind letting them know, because I'm looking at the same thing you are, but what, and this is just my brain, I'm like, we can let them know that, yes, we intend to work with you on a contract. We're not going to bid this out, is what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to look around and see if there's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying we're just going to give it to Buffalo EMS.
Mm-hmm.
But where I'm coming from is I'm not prepared to approve a 3-year agreement tonight. I'd like
so
to see
I think
more
I'm
discussion
confused
on
because
that.
You told me 5 minutes ago that you didn't agree with me just saying yay or nay, and now you're saying
no. I thought you were talking about it had to be, we needed to actually say, yeah, this is the contract we're going to offer, and
no,
I don't
no, I never
do
said
that.
That
no, just an intent to
just I it. Just said
so
intent.
This motion is, we're just going to write Buffalo EMS a letter and say we intend to contract with Buffalo EMS.
That was my original
that's,
one till you asked me to change it to the time frame.
Oh, I don't remember asking that, but whatever. Anyway, my vote was no, so you guys do what you want.
So your vote is to not continue with Buffalo EMS?
No, my vote is no, I don't want to vote on this because I want to make, the reason I didn't want to vote on it is because I wasn't clear on what you were trying to do. That's my whole thing.
Well, I voted no,
and I'll just stick with it.
Well, we can clear
the motion. You had just mentioned we need
to.
We're
all on the same page. I can just rephrase the motion. I think we're talking the same thing. We're not agreeing to the same numbers.
It was just simply my first idea was we're simply going to move forward. We needed to let Buffalo know that we're going to move forward with them, whatever that looked like.
Is it?
And that's why those contract, according to the budget time frame that I think Teresa, you gave us. That emailed us out, right? That's the first step in this, and that's with this contract. It just simply says we will let them know 120 days before expiration of the current term.
And
Dave, did you have something?
And I guess was that your guys' idea that one-year or three-year needs to be tied to that, though?
Well, I think you stating the motion, renew, I think you have to clarify that. I mean, does that mean a month?
Does that mean
1 year? And we're not prepared to do that. I'm not prepared to do that tonight, to agree to a 1 year or a 3 year or a 4 year or what. But that's just me. So.
Go ahead.
Well, to stay within the parameters of our current contract, the board is obligated 120 days prior to June 30th to give Buffalo EMS a letter. So that means before March 1st, give us a letter saying you intend to use us for another 1, 2, 3 years, or you don't.
And that was discussed at the last, I brought it up at the last meeting, and I said that this will be on the agenda tonight, that it does need to be discussed. Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm Chairman. It's my hope that the board will give us a go-ahead, that they're going to continue with us, and in the hopes that we will renegotiate an entirely new contract, whether that's 1, 3, 10, 50 years, I don't care. You intend to use us, and between now and the end of this fiscal year, we'll renegotiate a whole new contract.
That's what I had.
Yeah.
That was my thought as well. But
which fiscal year? This current fiscal year?
Well, before the contract, before about that.
So somehow this contract has this clause that there had to be this notification, and what was the intent of that? It was so that you had some reassurance we were going to enter into a new negotiation?
Well, I think it's both.
Intend
to provide ambulance service as of July 1st.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no point
for us to plan because we're holding classes and we're buying uniforms. And if as of July 1st you have no intention of contracting with us, that makes a huge decision in our how we're going to spend our money in the next 4 months.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that between now and the end of this fiscal year is enough time to renegotiate a contract.
I don't either.
As slow as the wheels turn, so it may have to be pushed into the next fiscal year before that contract is ever done, because it takes months kind of to agree on intricacies of the contract.
And Brittany, that's why I brought up at the last meeting to go ahead and automatically extend that agreement for a year with the idea that it would give the new board and Buffalo EMS because I know what it was like going through that last contract, and it was not fun, and it took a lot of time. And that was why I brought that up. But
It's my hope that I hope that the board will, as Chairman Camino said, that will support our EMTs and assure us that it's going to be a multi-year contract. Once it's the whether it's 3 or 4 or whatever it is, And, you know, because we ran an A class, we ran a B class, we're running another B class. You know what I mean? So we got a lot invested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think the other thing that we could, I mean, and correct me, because this is, you know, I'm learning as I go. Could we, to where we say, like, we, I don't know. I think this is kind of, you know, prior why I kind of wanted to have that work session, too, is just to be able to talk about this stuff and figure out these next steps with all of this. So are we at a point now where we can just simply say at this point, again, I'd like to maybe see if we can schedule a soon work session where I can say, where we can just say yay or nay?
Well, I don't know. We have a motion on the floor, so
it's been voted on.
Yeah, I think we've allowed that the board wants to continue with Buffalo Ambulance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And negotiate a new contract, but in the meantime,
that's what I mean about that.
We've met the terms of the
current
contract.
So the intention was just for 1 year, then, in your motion?
I don't think there
was. No, that wasn't, originally, I guess that's why I kind of asked prior if it was just yay or nay, and it was just, I think the motion was just to continue contracting with Buffalo EMS, and then giving ourselves, you know, acknowledging that we're going to now start negotiating. And
Brittany, you might.
You guys knowing that we want you guys and vice versa.
That's what I was hoping.
Is that a 1 year contract?
No, it's, well, it was originally a 4 year contract, I believe. And
three
then it was 3 years.
3 years,
yeah.
With an automatic. And that's what you're voting on right now is the 1 year.
The option to extend to the 1 year.
Okay.
And so that's where I just said, like, you know, just coming from my side too, thinking is the 1 year doesn't give a lot of support for our EMTs.
Yeah. My motion wasn't necessarily saying, yeah, it wasn't saying the 1 extension.
It doesn't prevent us from changing the contract. It just says we still have a contract in force.
Yeah.
For
but
1 year
if we
at
vote
this time.
If you vote tonight to extend that 1 year, you're basically changing the existing contract.
If we're not changing,
that wasn't
any
my.
Part
and
of
it was my motion wasn't to do the. I wasn't. It wasn't to do the extension. It was just to continue. I mean, it was basically. I thought we were just doing yay or nay, and then next step was figuring out what that looked like.
That's
and
what
if we
I
can get
was
a,
under the impression too.
But that's kind of why I asked prior. But if we need to.
Well, here's what I could suggest maybe that would get us on down our agenda is that the chairperson could schedule a work session. We can talk about it and make sure we get a notice written to Buffalo EMS before March 1st. We've got a couple weeks, and that might be a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So that letter will state that you do want to extend for 1 more year.
I don't think we know.
Okay.
I think we'll do a work session since we still technically have till March 1st, and then we'll iron out the
time. Okay.
Go ahead, Beth.
Is there a reason why you don't want to extend for 3 years?
I don't. No, I just haven't had a chance to think about it. I don't know that I have a problem with it. I just think this process tonight was not quite right. That's why I voted no.
Because, I mean, I've got an EMR class that's starting next month. I have an I class that's scheduled for January. I mean, I've got a lot of students that are, like, relying. And I even talked to Sheridan College tonight about the paramedic program.
Well, I think that's great.
So
I don't think it's any question as to continuing. I think it's just the logistics of all of it in terms of time frame. So my other you know, the other problem that's going to occur is that it still doesn't get us the ability, because we can't vote on anything in a work session.
Correct.
And so we're still not having the ability to give them any time frame. So, I mean, technically we can say, I mean, we could amend to where we say yes for at least a year, and then after our work session,
well,
or
so
after
we still
the next
be able
meeting.
To vote on three in that intention letter, and
yeah,
and I mean, you did mention, I mean, the timeline last meeting. We all were kind of aware that this was probably the decision to be made, and so I guess I'm willing to amend my motion if we need to, if there needs to be a timeline to it, and yeah, if we can't vote in a work session,
you can call a special meeting to have a vote.
Yeah, I guess I was just saying.
I mean,
you voiced your opinion on a 1 year versus a longer term. I echo that sentiment. I also think that, like was brought up last time, how much has changed. I know the transfer, the shared transfers. That's changed within this contract, but that's all changed financially. I think we need to take a closer look at that. I think price of everything's changed. I mean, I would like to give ourselves some longevity, so I'd be in favor of a longer contract, and I'd be willing to vote on that tonight if that is what we need to do. But I don't want to if we're kicking the can down the road to not be able to make a decision before March 1st, you know, we need to.
What if we can schedule a work session, work through our work session, and then schedule a special meeting, and vote then, and then we can... I'm sorry, I guess I...
It could be the same meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I was just...
That. We vote.
Yeah.
Same day.
If we advertise as that's a special meeting.
Yeah.
I just think there probably needs to be a little more discussion about.
Yes. Yeah. Just kind of why I was hoping for that work session to discuss this before. Yeah, and I realize schedules are tight. I get that. But this has been on the forefront of, I mean, we all knew this was coming. And so that's just where I ask us to make sure that we're working hard to not just think about it at the meeting, like that we're consciously reflecting as to how we want to see this move forward. We knew this was coming up. And so that's just, you know, I've been very apparent with everyone with my meetings with Buffalo EMS and how those have looked. I've been very transparent with that. So I just ask that we... give this sort of our consideration in terms of one of our priorities as we're moving through things, so we can get this figured out and move forward. And as I mentioned before, I think it's going to be a lot of work for us, and I think that once we can get through this work and we can get through it, I'm hoping that after contracts are signed we can sort of take a breath and move forward with things. But it's just, you know, it's hard to, I don't know, I see both sides. I see how long it could take to do budget agreement, but I also think that if we can be willing to be dedicated and put the legwork in for possibly a 3-year contract, it'll really provide a benefit to all of us in the end,
it'll take just as long next year, so it just has to be done. At some point, if it's a longer term, I'm not. So,
schedule. Well, the precedent is a 3-year contract. That's what we're dealing with right now. I can't imagine why we would shorten that.
Well, Marilyn had just mentioned that she doesn't.
It was a
budget negotiation.
2-year with an extra year, wasn't it? 3 with an extra. That's right, 3. Yep.
Can we move on down and then we'll
schedule a special meeting?
Yes. Do we want to do that now? Well, I have work session down on new business.
Yeah, we'll
so, okay. CD rates. Sorry. We have a... Can we do public comment at the end? So we can just keep moving, and then we'll do a quick public comment at the end, and I'll...
CD rates we kind of already discussed.
I'd like to introduce Brian.
Okay. Well,
he's got to leave.
Oh, okay.
And he's about to walk out the door.
Okay.
And you haven't met Brian before. This is Brian Sharp, his best husband. He was a corpsman in the Navy attached to a Marine unit and went into Afghanistan. And
I was in the first Gulf War.
We should go last. Gulf War. He's a little older than I remember. But
nice
anyway, he's a paramedic. Works in Gillette, works for the
Guardian
flight out of Gillette, and he comes over here and spends time with us, and so we have, he helps teach, and, you know, he's a paramedic, but he's not working at that level here, but he makes calls for us here in Buffalo. So I just want you to meet
him. Thank you.
Yeah, thank
nice
you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you. Yes.
I just want to thank Beth and her husband for being here, because it seems to me like the education is really coming along, and I appreciate the hours that you put into that, Beth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Now we're going to go teach a class.
CD rates.
All right.
Don't we kind of talk about that?
Well,
we didn't do the rates.
We got more to talk about.
All right.
But currently, we talked about our money market at Bank of Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
which is about $1.1 million. They're offering a CD, which would be, if I can find my notes.
Is it like 3.4?
It's 3.35%, which compounds annually to 3.41%. There's a higher rate that's for new money. We have old money. However, if we are already near the limit of our pledged amount to be covered there, the discussion would then be, do we transfer some of that money market to another institution that may be offering a higher CD rate? And so I'm willing to find out what First Northern Bank and First Interstate Bank would offer and then bring to our next meeting those terms. And then we alleviate the problem of holding more than what Bank of Buffalo can cover.
And is that letter from First Interstate, the $250,000, is that like a CD too?
Well, it,
is that every?
It says your deposits are insured to a balance of $250,000 by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC. And then it says we will be happy to pledge additional securities as necessary to cover increasing deposit balances.
Okay.
So I think that means there's the potential for a pledge of excess of $250,000.
Okay. Yeah, if you could look into that and just give us a few rates at the next meeting, Dr. Schuler, that would be great.
I'll be happy to do that.
CMS reporting. Carrie, I'm going to kind of look to you. Can you guide this a little bit for me?
Well, 2 years ago, the Rural Healthcare District was selected by Centers for Medicare and Medicaid to do this cost study. COVID delayed that. So now the organizations that were chosen for year one and year two now are required to report. Teresa, I think, submitted the paperwork. The board decided to submit it along with our fiscal year. So starting July 1st, 2022, ending June 30th, 2023, is when we need, that's the time period in which we're reporting. Since we were the first ones chosen, first group of random chosen, we
we haven't received any reports of others submitting that yet, and so it's still fairly new. There's companies offering classes, there's companies offering help. In fact, I received one today. I think I forwarded that to Teresa as well. There's a webinar next week or sometime in February still that I thought Teresa and I should just attend. It's an hour long, I think, question and answer. Basically, we're obligated to, within their parameters, show what it costs to run an ambulance service, and in hopes that their rates might be more applicable to what the actual costs are, because right now they're not. I don't know if we're going to get an immediate rate hike, but certainly that's why they're asking for it.
Okay.
Is because ambulance services keep saying, well, it costs us more than $300 to run an advanced call.
Sure.
And so, that being said, it's pretty much bookkeeping oriented. If there are any questions above and beyond that, I'm sure Teresa will bring it to the board.
Okay.
But it's just a matter of we have to record it with their line items, not ours, and so it is going to take some time.
Okay.
But we have, I believe it's either 3 to 6 months after the fiscal year ends to submit the reports.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to be too onerous. I do know that for the contract with Buffalo EMS, it just can be the one lump sum because they're used to that, and so that will simplify the process.
Sure.
Quite a bit.
Okay.
So we're working on that.
Okay.
And I've included, I think, Dr. Schuler in some of these. This most recent email forwarded it since he's the treasurer.
Sure.
So I think, and I'm still getting emails. That's why I'm kind of involved.
Yeah.
And I offered to help years ago when this was happening. But ultimately, Teresa has the QuickBook information. We'll just put it together, and then you'll approve it before it's sent.
Okay.
Okay.
And the same with Casey is... Are you doing that for Michelle? Are you doing the CMS reporting for Casey?
I thought Crosby.
Or Crosby.
Crosby
sent me.
Crosby was the one.
I mean, yeah, we both work on it, but yeah.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay.
So that was my question, Brittany, is was Carrie and Teresa and Dr. Schuler going to do all of it, all the data entry, or were they going to work with, because KC will actually have, if I understand it right, the most input into the documentation. So I think Crosby or Michelle needs to be involved. And so were you all going to keep them in?
Well,
or
yeah,
how
absolutely.
Are you looking at that?
I mean, Teresa has the QuickBooks,
the master QuickBooks file.
So basically, however she wants to ask, okay, when the KC expenses come upon, you know what, just making sure.
She'll just coordinate with Casey.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll probably have to have a work session to figure this out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just make sure whatever we can do to support you with it.
Yes, I will need some help.
Okay.
Probably Carrie can offer some help.
Okay.
And whatever information Crosby has.
To contribute. Okay, perfect. Guidehouse, have we heard any more with the, because we submitted the stuff and then I hadn't heard anything back in terms of
I haven't
nothing.
Heard any.
Okay. Grants. So I think that this can be probably tabled to the work session and special meeting because I think we just need fresh eyes when we talk about it. So just be aware that at our next special session and work session, I would like us to talk about the grants available. So I did meet with Buffalo EMS and we did talk about finding a new possible location for the building if we could find something that was more centrally located, because we do have to let them know, not Buffalo EMS, but let the grants awarders know, yay or nay. So I would like to table that and move that to our work session and special meeting. Medical director. Unfortunately, due to some contractual clauses, we were not able to award or fulfill Dr. Darnell and with him being the medical director. With that being said, we have met with Dr. Goddard, who is now the KC EMS medical director, and we had a great collaborative meeting, and I would like to suggest, based on who I believe would be excellent for the position, as well as who Buffalo EMS would like, I would like to see Dr. Goddard be now the KC and Buffalo EMS medical director. Dr. Goddard is very much in favor of this as well. I think it's really important too, we kind of talked about this in our meeting, to have consistent policies across the board. So for example, when the hospital, Johnson County Healthcare, gets a chest pain patient, whether they're receiving that patient from KC or Buffalo EMS, they know that the same policies and procedures are going to be happening no matter who is bringing that patient in. So I do think having him is a great asset for us. So I would be in favor of Dr. Goddard becoming the new medical director. So before we vote on that, I do think we have to probably rescind the vote from the last meeting, because we did vote, which I will take blame for. We probably voted on that before we ever even talked contract negotiation. So I will take the blame for that.
How to approve it before we ask.
We're learning, yeah.
I'll make a motion to rescind that.
Okay.
Motion that was made and approved on medical director agreements at the
January
meeting.
So Marilyn has made a motion to rescind the motion about Dr. Darnell being the medical director. And again, like I mentioned, it was contractual clauses that we could not fulfill for him to be.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Can I have a motion for Dr. Goddard to be, this would be Dr. Goddard with the, so he would be $500 for KC EMS and $500 for Buffalo EMS. So he would be $1,000 contractual medical director.
I'll make the motion.
I can second it. Under discussion, I think it's a really good idea to have one medical director for the entire county.
All in favor of Dr. Goddard being the new medical director for Buffalo EMS at a pay of...
one more thing, sorry.
That's okay.
Are there any other clauses in the medical director agreement that were asked to be changed, or will it be the exact same agreement?
Yep.
Okay.
He wanted no
all
changes.
Right.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. So I will drop off, and sorry, I guess we should have made the, so it will be starting March 1st. So with that, I just wanted to thank Dr. Schuler for everything that he has done for being medical director and being so gracious and volunteering your time as we are learning and working through these contract issues. So it's been amazing that I think you said 30 years we've never had to vote on a new medical director. Mm-hmm. So I cannot thank you enough for your service for them. It's
thank you.
Enjoyed it.
That's amazing. So thank you very much. I'm sorry that we're having to do this after 30 years, but it's amazing that you dedicated that service. So thank you. And again, for being so willing to do this voluntarily. So that, I think, proves to us that you have patient-centered care at the forefront. So I appreciate that. Okay, so privacy officer. I still don't know what I'm supposed to do with that.
Well, Brittany, in the handbook, there's a piece in there about privacy officers, and I believe it.
But you've mentioned something like submitting to the state.
Has to do with HIPAA.
Yes.
And so my question was, in our county handbook, I think Michelle maybe can answer this. If KC Ambulance Service has designated a privacy officer to hopefully try to eliminate any kind of HIPAA violations, is my understanding. But my question was, should it be in the handbook? I don't think it matters that it's in the handbook, but we kind of axed it. But
Does someone go if, like, they're an outside person and they say, who is your privacy officer? Where do we show them who it is? That's my only concern, if it mm-hmm. wasn't in the handbook or in any mm-hmm. kind of bylaw.
Sort of like
so
the other one that we have is the public records
yes.
officer. And that is a statute that
yes.
says we have to have one of those. And I think you should be that, right?
Yeah.
I think we agreed
on that, if
yeah.
we're being that.
So
I just
it's sort of this, in my mind, it's kind of the same thing, except that's by statute. I personally haven't read a statute about privacy officers, but I think it's probably an important piece to have. I'm just not sure
where we put it. Okay. Okay. I'll look into this further. So let's table that to the next meeting when I can give more information on that. Patient payment. So there is a patient who was transferred via ambulance by KC-EMS who is unable to pay. And so this is the first time this has come up for the new board. And so prior, they Marilyn had mentioned that this was discussed in a meeting, obviously not using any kind of patient's identification or anything like that. So this patient, they mentioned being able to make payments if possible. So I wasn't sure how we proceeded.
You know, we've done it different ways, and we did have a motion. Carrie, help me out with this. Did we decide, like, ever really come up with a policy? We just sort of case by case.
The policy is a case by case
review
mm-hmm. that the board makes. You would say the amount that they owe
mm-hmm.
and whether or not they have a financial hardship or whatever it is, explain that. And then you decide as a board if you want to accept payments, make a reduction, and accept payments, or write the entire bill off.
Yeah.
Let me find.
Just
Teresa, did you have that right
case
there?
By case.
Was that what you have? The email that you sent me?
I have the
Can
email.
Can I see that real quick?
The board does not ever grant the bookkeeper permission to give a cross-board 20% if
right.
paid within a month. It's always been a case by case.
And does it all has to go through our third-party biller, right? Because when I spoke with Crosby and Michelle, he said kind of once he submits it, it's out of his hands.
Right. Well, you guys decide, and then Teresa would inform them, because for the most part, they've written it off. They'll send it to collections, which
mm-hmm.
it is now.
Okay.
And so they don't keep pursuing that person. They've already sent it off to collections.
Okay.
So we would inform both agencies of the decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this person is in financial hardship, issues with making rent, using, you know, on having to be on food assistance and things. And they were happy to give us any kind of documentation that we needed showing their financial hardship.
Mm-hmm.
But the bill was for, and it looks like two different bills that occurred, two different ambulance runs. And they totaled about $7,600 that this patient is asked to pay. That's significant for anyone who has a full-time job and able to make rent and not use food assistance. Mm-hmm. So
it was two separate calls, transfers?
Yes, two separate months, two separate calls. One was for $3,380 and the other call, so I'm assuming it was transfers, $4,220. And it's the only income is Social Security. There is no earned income, no assets, no retirement pension, and no investments. And this is a Casey resident. So then do we eat that? How does that work? Do we eat the money?
Well, I'm going to question briefly, if I may, if they're on Social Security, shouldn't they be on Medicare as well?
Michelle, can you answer that? Did she hang up?
It says that only his... Mm-hmm. Only has his Social Security.
That typically goes hand in hand with Medicare.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless he's Social Security disability.
Okay. 62.
If he was on Medicare, Medicare would have issued a payment, said that we, by law, have to write off the remaining. So I'm guessing he is not Medicare eligible.
Okay.
Well, if he's 62, he wouldn't be on Medicare.
Okay. So how about this? How about
how long has he been in collection?
It didn't say that he was in collection.
Oh, okay.
So how about I follow up more with this, and we can maybe add this to a quick work session discussion, because at this point it's not going to matter a week or two. I'll follow up more with this, and then...
And I guess just real quick, not to get in the weeds much, but historically, I mean, how often has this come up? And how have you guys, obviously it's case to case, but on something that's a pretty big bill without a lot of income, I mean, have you guys...
I don't ever recall writing that much off myself.
Okay.
And so we would eat that money.
A lot of times, there might. And then, recent past, we gave them a payment that they could handle. You know, but we didn't.
And do we give the payment, or the third party biller gives the payment?
The board decides what they want to do.
Because technically, the third party biller isn't going to reimburse us. So anything we ask for payment wise. We're just trying to collect what we lost from them, correct? Okay.
Yeah, and if it does go into collections, what do they get? Two bills? I can't remember if the billing company sends out two bills and then it goes to collections, is that right? So, but that is a pretty large amount. I don't recall ever just writing off that much. Do you, Carrie? Have we ever written? I don't recall ever writing that much off. Maybe we have 10, 15 years ago, but I don't remember.
I don't think so either.
It's pretty large.
Have increased, but
yeah.
Maybe when you do some more research, Brittany, I can figure out what Medicare would have paid for that call, and then maybe try to write off to that degree.
Okay.
To have some kind of
payments on the
justification.
Yeah, okay.
That'd be great, Carrie.
And just see if he's...
Yeah, so I'll take a look
at
for Teresa. Can I'll give Teresa the information. She can figure that out.
Okay. So we'll table that to the work session. So work session. What does everyone's schedule look like? Do you like the 4 o'clock?
Thinking this week, next week.
Well, next week, I mean, we can, if it can be Monday or Tuesday, because March 1st is Wednesday already of next week.
Oh, no, I guess next week, the 20th through the 24th.
Oh, I don't even know what week it is. Never mind.
You scared me.
Yeah, I am. I can make where we leave for state swimming Thursday afternoon.
I'm pretty wide open next week, so I can make that work.
Are you talking 4? Later in the day is probably 4. Better for me.
Okay. I mean, if 4 o'clock would work. Monday is President's Day. But the 21st is the Knights of Columbus Fish Fry. But that starts at 4, which...
Hey, we better go for the 22nd. That's a big deal.
Well, and I have a PTO meeting at 5:30 that I could possibly miss, too. But
on the 22nd?
The 21st.
Oh.
So the 22nd, I can make whatever work.
Is would a lunch meeting work better for anybody to avoid some of that night stuff? Or 4 is fine with me, too. I just was throwing it out there.
I'd have to be done by 5:30 on the 22nd for another meeting.
Okay.
I think it should be pretty focused, so I would
think
that's a doable timeline. We'll make that the timeline.
Can we do Wednesday the 22nd at 4 and then ensure that we'll have to be diligent and work through it to...
So you're scheduling a work session and a special meeting on that day at 4 o'clock.
Wednesday, yep, the 22nd at 4 p.m. And hopefully Marie can make that too. Go ahead.
Can I just clarify, what is the subject, what is the topics for
that? Buffalo EMS contract at...
CMS reporting.
Do we need to do the CMS reporting?
I think we're good on that.
Was it CMS grants?
Yeah, grants. And then the patient payments.
And is the patient payment, is that necessary to throw in a couple weeks, or is that going to change before next month's meeting?
Well, that's what I want to figure out, just in case they haven't got sent to collections yet.
Yeah.
That way we can get it taken care of before.
Yeah, if we can get that Medicare rate and get a little more information from him, that should be...
That should be like 2 minutes. I will just have to make sure I can get that. Okay. Public comment. Our public has disappeared.
No
public. Okay.
You lucky duck.
See, none. Can I... Do I need to make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Make the motion.
Perfect.
Second.
All in favor of adjourning this meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Happy adjournment.
Okay, good job, Brittany.
All right. I got my list. Michelle, are you still there?
I am.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle.
Yep. Welcome.
All right.
We have a few more things to initial.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Thank you. You know something we didn't do?
These minutes with sign vouchers.
Oh, yes. Well,
I'll make a motion to re-adjourn and approve the vouchers.
Second and second.
Okay, now I'll make a motion to approve the vouchers as presented.
Second.
Accept the nitrous oxide voucher and the CARE EMS voucher.
Correct. Yeah, I'll reword that. Make a motion to approve the vouchers, excluding the nitrous oxide and the EMS. CARE EMS training.
Can I have that? We have to initial that too, right? Because of those basic. Oh.
So then I'll make a motion. Well, we didn't vote yet.
Oh, all in favor of approving the vouchers except the training and the KC or the nitrous oxide?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign.
And a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor to adjourn for a second time?
Aye.
Aye.
Approved? Same sign.
I'll keep it. Right.